Okay, very exciting. Starting Erevin today, Erevin Daf, Betterman Aleph. Basically, Erevin deals with the how to create enclosed spaces that can be carried within on Shabbat itself. You can't carry in open public areas. However, you may carry in enclosed spaces. There are also domains that are not public areas as far as the Torah is concerned, but they are domains that the rabbi is prohibited from carrying in. And then we have these ways of creating, of turning these common areas into enclosed areas so that we can carry within them. I'm going to try to make a longer introductory shiur to just kind of grasp the basic concepts in Erevin and the terms, just to understand a little bit better what we're talking about. But we're going to jump in for right now, and hopefully at some point soon I can get around to that introductory shiur. So the first topic we're dealing with is when you have houses that open up into a common alleyway, and that alleyway is surrounded on three sides, and then on the fourth side is an entrance to the Rishut HaRabim. So as long as that mavoi, as long as that alleyway surrounded on three sides, and then that fourth side constitutes like an entrance to the alleyway, then you're fine. The problem is if it's too big to be considered an entrance to the alleyway, and it's just considered an unwalled area, and it's too wide to be considered a closed off space, then that area cannot be carried into from the connected houses. Only if we see that as an independent area that is separated from the Rishut HaRabim through the three walled off spaces and through the fourth space being small enough to be considered an entranceway to the alleyway itself. So now we're going to speak about the specifics, because the way to turn that into an entrance is to put a cross beam across the top of the entranceway on the fourth open side. But there are details regarding what that cross beam can be. Right. So if you have an alleyway and you have a cross beam in that fourth unwalled area and it's higher up than 20 amot, you need to lower it down, right? Because that's too high to be considered an entranceway. Or if it's wider than 10 amot, that's too wide to be considered an entranceway, then you have to make it smaller in order for it to be a valid mavoi. However, if there's a proper door frame there, two beams on either side and a cross beam, even if it's wider than 10 amot, you don't have to make it smaller. So by sukkah, we taught that if a sukkah is beyond 20 amot tall, it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says kosher. Why? What's the difference between sukkah that when we were saying that a sukkah can't be over 20 amot, we said if it is, it's pasul. Whereas when a mavoi is over 20 amot, we don't say that mavoi is pasul. We say you need to fix it. What's the difference? What's the reason for the difference in the language? One that calls it pasul, and one says no, you just need to fix it, meaning you need to make it lower. Sukkah deoraita tani psula mavoi derabanan tani takanta. So first answer is that sukkah, which is deoraita, we said it's pasul. That's its objective status. It's pasul on deoraita level. But a derabanan, this is a derabanan concept. So we just, instead of calling it pasul, it's not right. It's not a fitting term to call it pasul. Rather, we just say it needs to be fixed. But if you want to say that by deoraitas, we also see sometimes that it says fix it. But by sukkah, we had a number of specifications. It has to have at least three walls. It can't have the sun be, it can't let in more sunlight than it has shade. And it can't be over 20 amot. So you couldn't just say mimait. You couldn't just say mimait, because that's not a relevant a correction for all the problems with the sukkah. We're talking about three different problems, right? And you couldn't just say fix it, because each one needs their own fixing. But my mavoi, we only mentioned one problem that can be fixed in a very specific way. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Chachamim lo lamdua ela mipitcho shel Eicha, v'Rav Yehuda lo lamda ela mipitcho shel Ula. The Chachamim learned that 20 by 20 by 10, meaning 20 amot tall and 10 across, is a halach, is the halach, is what we halachically consider to be an entrance from the entranceway to the Heichal, one of the rooms of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Rabbi Yehuda learned what the halachic, what halachically constitutes an entrance from the entranceway to the Ulam, another room of the Beit HaMikdash. Ditnan, Pitcho Shel Heichal, Gavoa Esrim Ama, that the entranceway to the Heichal was 20 amot tall, v'rachbo 10 amot, and its width was 10 amot, v'shal ulam gavo ebraiv amot, v'rachbo 20 amot, right? And when it comes to the entrance to the ulam, it's 40 amot tall and 20 amot across, v'shneim mikra echad darshu. And they actually got those measurements from one, from the same pasuk, v'shachto petach oel moed, right? That you slaughter it at the entranceway to the oel moed. That, so the Torah calls it a petach. Torah calls it a petach. So whatever the entrance, whatever the size is of the entrance of a moed, we know that halachically, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's considered a petach. The Rabbanan savri kedushat heichal lechud v'kedushat ulam lechud. The Rabbanan say, but the heichal and the ulam are two halachically distinct territories. So the petach of the petach of the oel moed, since the petach of the oel moed leads straight into the heichal, right? So because the heichal and the ulam are considered two distinct rooms with two different halachic statuses, we don't consider the entrance to the oel moed to also be the entrance to the ulam. Because when you leave the heichal and go into the ulam, you go into a different halachically, you're going to a different room halachically, right? However, so for that reason, since they have different levels of kedusha, when we said the petach of the oel moed, what we meant was it must be done in the heichal. Not the ulam. The ulam is a different din altogether. So petach must only go, petach ol moed must only be talking about the heichal, and not the ulam as well. In which case, if you want to ask what halachically considered a petach is, you have to look at the entrance to the heichal. V'chikti petach ol moed. Sorry, I skipped a part. אחד דשו ושחת דשו היכל לחוד ולם וכתיב פתח אוהל מועד היכל כתיב. And when it says the petach of the oel moed, the entrance to the oel moed, that's talking about the heichal, right? The first room in the oel moed. Rabbi Yehuda savar heichal ve'ulam kedusha achat hi. Rabbi Yehuda says it's all one big room. V'chiktiv petach oel moed atarvayuhu. And so when it says the entrance to the oel moed, it's considering the entrance to the oel moed, both the entrance to the ulam and the heichal. Dichtiv v'ibayt eim. Alternatively, we can say the following: Rabbi Yehuda namik kedushat ulam lechud v'kedushat heichal lechud. Maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we see this as halachically two different rooms. V'acha ainu time of Rabbi Yehuda, and this is a svara for Rabbi Yehuda. Dichtiv el petach ulam habayit, right? Because it says el petach ulam habayit. So by the entrance to the ulam, it's also called a petach. So there we have a halachically significant petach by the ulam. V'rabbanan, how the rabbanan respond to that? He have a katav el petach ulam kedekamarta hashda dekatav el petach ulam habayit. Right? So yeah, if it would have just said El Petach Ha'ulam, then yeah, the Rabbi Yehuda would have a point. It doesn't just say El Petach Ha'ulam. It's not talking about the entrance to the Ulam. It says Petach Ulam Habayit. So now we know that we're talking about the bayit that opens up to the Ulam. That's the Petach that we're talking about, but not the Petach of the Ulam itself. But all these things are written by the Mishkan. Right? But we're learning from the measurements of the Beit HaMikdash. How does that work? Mikdash and Mishkan can sometimes be used interchangeably. Because if you don't say that, can be used interchangeably. Had Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shalomim Sheshachtan Korban Ptichat Dlato Heichal Psulin. Right, that if you slaughter a Korban Shalomim, the Beit Hamikdash, that before the doors of the Heichal are open, meaning they're closed, it's going to be possible. Shneimar Veshachtu Petach Oel Moed, because he slaughtered it at the entrance of the Oel Moed. Bismanche Ptuchin Velo Bismanche Ulin, implying that it has to be a time they're going to be open and not a time they're closed. Right, but that's also talking about the Mishkan. So how do we learn the din from the Beit HaMikdash? Elayashkan Mikdash Dikri Mishkan Mikdash Dikri Mikdash. So yeah, Mikdash and Mishkan can be used interchangeably. Pishlam Mikdash Dikri Mishkan. Okay, I know the time that the Mikdash is called Mishkan Diktiv and Dati Mishkani B'tulchem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he puts his Mishkan amongst us. He's talking about the Beit HaMikdash. So they're used interchangeably. At least the Mikdash can be referred to as the Mishkan. Ela Mishkan Dikri Mikdash Minalan. But where do I see that the Mishkan is called Mikdash? Ilema, if you want to say it's from the following, Mdichtiv v'natsu akatim nosei ha-mikdash v'kimot ha-mishkan ad bo'ah. If you want to say that the Bnei Kahat carried the Mikdash and they set it up, and Bnei Kahat were carrying the Mishkan, obviously, you don't carry the Beit HaMikdash, right? And that's called Mikdash. Ahu ba'aron k'tiv, that's not talking about the Mishkan, that's talking about the Aron. Ela me'acha, rather you see it from here that the Mishkan is called Mikdash, v'asu le'mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Right, you make for your Mikdash and all dwell amongst you, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that about the Mishkan, so they're used interchangeably. Bein l'Rabbanan, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, li'alfu b'petach shara chatzer. One second, whether you're the Rabbanan or whether you're Rabbi Yehuda, Why don't we learn it out from the entrance to the gate by the chatzer? Right? That's also, that also has a petach written by it. Dichtiv, as it's written, Orech chatzer me'abama v'rochav chamishim. B'chamishim. Right? So the length of the chatzer is 100 amma, and the width of the chatzer is 50. V'koma chamesh amot, and it's 5 amot tall. Uchtiv v'chamesh esrei ama klaim lekatev, and it's written that 15 that the things hanging off the like the pillars and these and the sockets hanging off of the gates are 15 amot wide. Uchtiv lekatev hashniya mizeh umizeh l'shar chaser klaim chamesh esrei ama. So let's do the math. If you have the gates and the things and the pillars and the sides of the gates stretch 15 amot on either side, and the entire width is 50 amot, how much do you have left for the entrance, which is not taken up by gateway? It must be 15 amot, right? So we know that the gateways stretches on the side 15 amot on one side, 15 amot on the other side. So the entrance way is 20 amot. That's what we have left from the 50, right? 15 plus 15 is 30, 50 minus 30, 20. You have a 20 amma entranceway. All right? Malahalan, chamesh baruch of esrim, avkan chamesh baruch of esrim. And still it's called a petach. So just like there, you have a 20 amma wide, you have a 20 amma wide entrance, but a 5 amma high entrance. So too, maybe if, since that's called a petach, we should be learning about the petach for the mavoi that also needs to be, that also can be 20 amma wide and 5 amma high. Petach she'ar chatzer, ikri, petach stama lo ikri. It says, okay, that's called a petach she'ar chatzer. It's a very unique form of petach that only exists by petach she'ar chatzer and should not be applied to other forms of entrances. It's not just a general, it's not taught as a generality that this is what a petach is. V'bayit aim alternative can say as follows. Ki k'tiv, k'dayim chamesh shayama, l'katev, b'gova hu dichtiv. Right? When it says that it's 15, maybe it's talking about its height, but not its width, right? Gavoa v'achtiv v'koma chamesh amot. How would it be that that's 15 amot high if we taught that the height is 5 amot? Ahu misfat mizbeach ulamala. Yeah, 5 amot from the top of the mizbeach and onward the mizbeach was 10. V'Rabbi Yehuda v'pitcho shel ulam gmar v'atnan v'arachav me'eser amot yima'et v'lo palig Rabbi Yehuda. Right, but does Rabbi Yehuda really learn this from the Petach HaUlam? But when we said, Rabbi Yehuda only argues on the 20 amot that you have to lower it. But if it's 10 amot in width, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue there. Right? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that it can be wider? If he learns from Petach HaUlam, then it's allowed to be wider. Amar Baye, Palig Babraita. Right, yeah, we see that he argues in the Braita, the Tanya, in the Braita, Verachav Miyud Amot. If it's wider than 10 amot, yima'et, right? You have to make it low, you have to make it smaller. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't sarach lamai. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to make it smaller. V'liplug b'matnitin, pali b'govo v'hu adin l'rachba. Why doesn't he argue in the Mishnah? Well, he does. He has an argument on the height, and similarly has an argument by the width. V'akati Rabbi Yehuda m'pitcho shel ulam gemar. But still, we can ask, does Rabbi Yehuda really learn it from the petach to the ulam, the entrance to the ulam? V'atani Rabbi Yehuda b'raita mavoi shu gavoa michaf ama. Right, an entranceway to the alley that's beyond 20 amot, you might. You make it lower. Rabbi Yehuda machshir ad mem venun. Rabbi Yehuda says it can be even 40, 50 amot tall. Mem venun arma. Right? So, Vitali Bar Kavra ad mea. And Bar Kavra says it could even be 100 amot tall. Bishlam Bar Kavra Kuzma. I understand that Bar Kavra is not a problem. He's just exaggerating. He's not being medayak in his lashon. Elo Rabbi Yehuda, my Kuzma. But Rabbi Yehuda is not exaggerating. He says it could be 40 or 50. But how could it be 50 if he's learning from the Ulam and the Ulam was 40? Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda Arbaim. It makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda would hold it that it's 40. Gemara Pitcho Shel Ulam. He must learn it out from the entrance to the Ulam. Elo Nun Minale. But where would he learn 50 from? What entrance way is 50? Amar Chizda. Hamatnitin ati ataite lira says this mishnah was a little bit misquoted, right? Detanya mavoi shu gavoa mechav ama yoter repitcho shel heichal yimait, right? If a mavoi was 20 amot tall, which is greater than the petach of the heichal, you have to make it smaller. Hu savar midirabanan. You might. Hu savar midirabanan mipitcho shel heicha gemari. And Rav held that the Rabbanan must learn it from the entrance to the Heichal. But Rav Yehuda mipitcho shel ulam. And Rav Yehuda must hold that it's the petach of the ulam. Right? So Rav explains that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda learned this from the entrance to the Heichal and the entrance to the Ulam. That is Rav's explanation, right? Velohi, but that is not actually the case. Meaning, it's not an objective problem. When Rabbi Yehuda says that it could even be 50 tall, it's not a problem that he says it's 50 tall, because he doesn't actually learn it from the entrance to the Heichal. Rav was mistaken when he said that he learns it. Or Rav misled us when he says that Rabbi Yehuda learned it from the entrance to the Ulam. But Rabbi Yehuda didn't actually learn it from the entrance to the Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda mepitcha de malchin gamar. Rabbi Yehuda really learned it from the entranceway to a king's gates, which were generally much bigger. Right, that's why they could be 40 or 50. V'rabbanon im mepitcho shel heichal gemiri libau delatot geheichal. But then the Rabbanon. So basically, what we said is this idea that Rabbi Yehuda learned it out from the petach of the ulam is not actually the case. Rabbi Yehuda actually learned it out from the petach of King's Gates, which can be much bigger. Rav thought that Rabbi Yehuda learned it from Petach HaUlam, and the Rabbanan learned it from the Petach HaHeichal. Now we're asking, and according to the Rabbanan who learned it from Petach HaHeichal, the Heichal had doors, right? So why doesn't this need doors? Why doesn't the Mavoi need doors? Keheichal, Dilatot Keheichal, Al Matanan, Hechsher Mavoi, Beit Shammai Omrim, Lecha V'kura, Beit Hillel Omrim, Lechi Okura. Right? But what we taught is, how do you make a Mavoi kosher? By putting a beam going up and down, and then a beam going across. According to Beit Shammai, you need a beam going up and down and a beam going across. Whereas Beit Hillel says you need either a beam going up and down or a beam going across. Right? In which case, you definitely don't need, according to both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, you don't need doors. So why did the Rabbanan require doors? The Petach HaHeichal had doors. Zlatot Heichal Tzniut Ba'alma. Right, that was just for privacy that it had doors. It wasn't because that's how we define an entrance, just for privacy that it had doors. But we can define an entrance by much less. Ba'almahu. De Avidan. They were just made for privacy. Ela me'ata lo tehani le tzurat ha-petach. The ha heichal tzura petach avia lo afilu achi eseramot who the rivach the raviach, right? So, but then why do we hold at the end of the Mishnah there that if we learn it from the entrance of the heichal, why does the tzura petach help you? We said that it needs to be less than 10, it needs to be 10 or less, unless you have a tzura petach, you have a proper doorpost. But the heichal had a doorpost, and still it wasn't allowed to be beyond 10. So the Heichal had a doorpost and it couldn't be beyond 10. How do you know that a Mavoi, when we learn it from the Heichal, if it has a doorpost, can be beyond 10, but if it doesn't have a doorpost, only has to be 10? Al matnan, im yesh lo tzura tapetach, af bisharachav me'eser amot, enu tzarech lemait midei hutama el lerav. So, this svara, that if it has a tzura tapetach, then it can be, if it has a tzura tapetach, then it can be greater than 10, is only according to Rav's svara here. As we said earlier, Rav was the one who believed that the Rabbanan were learning it from the entrance to the Heichal, right? And so, it's only a problem for Rav that, it's only a problem for Rav that it would be allowed to be beyond 10 amot, as long as you have a tzura tapetach, even though that's not the case by the Heichal, right? Hamatni le Rav Yehuda lechia bar Rav kamei de Rav, and as we learn that Yehuda taught Achia the son of Rav in front of Rav, enu tzarech lemait, that you don't have to diminish the width from 10 amot if there's a tzura tapetach. Amar le atnaya tzarech lemait, and Rav says no, you should teach that you need to make it smaller. Meaning Rav is consistent with his shita. That which we said, that you learn it from the Heichal, that is according to Rav, right? And so when you tell me that, well, if we learn it from the Heichal, even if it has a tzura tapetach, a proper door frame, it cannot be beyond 10 amot, and yet the Mavoi, if it has a tzura tapetach, it can be beyond 10 amot, how does that make sense? Well, because it's not Everyone doesn't agree that you learn it from the Heichal. Only Rav says that Rabbanan learn it from the Heichal. And then you know what Rav says about Tzura Petach? He says also by an Ulam, if there's a Tzura Petach, it can't be beyond. I'm sorry, also by a Mavu, if there's a Tzura Petach, it can't be beyond 10 Amor. So Rav's completely consistent. Elameata, lote hanile, amaltera. But if that's the case, then in amaltera, and a maltera can also not permit it from going beyond 20 amot. And a maltera is like a door post added to the top of the door area. Deha heichal a maltera haviale ve afilu achi esrim amahu, because the heichal had an a maltera, had like a door post, and still that door post was not able to go beyond 20 amot. Amahu de gavua. Litnan, zorim de Mishnah, chamesh amalterot shel mila hayu al gabav zolamalamizo. Right? Right? That the Mishkan, sorry, the entrance of the Eichal had these doorposts on top of each other. Vehai my tiuvta dilma ki tanya hi de amalteraot beulam tanya. Well, why is that a problem? See, the Mishnah taught that if something has a doorpost that extends beyond, meaning a door, it's like a post over a door. If someone has that extends beyond 20 amot, it still functions to allow you to carry within it, right? But how can you learn that from the Heichal? Because the Heichal has something over 20, the Heichal has the doorpost over the top of it, and still it's within 20. So you'd have to conform to the doorpost within 20, right? Just like the Heichal does. And then we said, well, you know, how is that difficult, right? Kitanya hi de amralato be ulam, meaning maybe that was talking about doorposts not in the Heichal, but in the ulam's 40 amot high. That's why it works, because as long as it's within 40, you're fine. Meaning, sure, if the Heichal had a doorpost and it needed to be within 20, then we would understand the difficulty, right? Because how can you say that if the Heichal has to have the doorposts within 20, then the Mavui should have a doorpost within 20, and if it's beyond 20, it doesn't work. But we're not talking about the Heichal having the doorpost within 20. We're talking about an Ulam having the doorpost. And so we're not bound by 20 Amot like the... we're not bound by 20 Amot. We're bound by 40 Amot. The high my kushya deal matavnid heichal ketavnid ulam, but just like I can say that the ulam had these doorposts, so too I can say the heichal had these doorposts. They were built in a very similar way, right? So just like the ulam had doorposts, so too the heichal had doorposts. Those doorposts in the heichal did not extend beyond 20 amot. So I have to assume that I'm not allowed to make a mavui that goes beyond 20 amot, even with. Doorposts, right? And still, though, I taught in a Mishnah that if the doorpost extends beyond 20 amot in a mavoi, it works. How does it work? Alma, Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav, Rachba Dalet, Afapi She'ena Beria, Ve'im Yeshla Armalta, Afilu Gavoa, Yoter Mesrim, Ama, Eno Tzarech Lamayit. And still, we taught that if the Rochav of the if the width of the entrance is 4 amot, right, and you have a doorpost on top of the door, even if it exceeds 20 amot, still you're allowed to carry within it. So that's a problem, because that doesn't fit the model of learning it from the Heichal, where the doorpost had to be within 20 amot. Amar Rav Yosef Armalta Matnitin. Amar Rav Yosef. Amaltera matnita hi man katanila amar abaye v'ha chama v'rei deraba baravua katanila. So we challenge it. Well, maybe it's not an authoritative source. That which we taught this Mishnah that you're allowed to carry underneath. We taught in a Braita that you're allowed to carry underneath the. You're allowed to carry in a mavoi where you have a doorpost beyond 20 amot above it. So yeah, that poses a problem because it doesn't conform to the model of the Heichal, but maybe it's not an authoritative source that Rav had to conform to. And then we say, what do you mean? Chama Barei de Rabba Baravua taught this, right? It's definitely authoritative. You have to go by it. V'tehave amaltera matnitin v'tikshe l'Rav. Amar l'cha Rav, dal ana mehacha matnaita. So Rav would respond as follows. Wait one second. We already have two Mishnayot, right? One that teaches me a Mishnah that says you're allowed to carry underneath a doorpost that is beyond 20 amot. And another one that teaches me that I'm not allowed to carry under a doorpost that is beyond 20 amot. So, clearly it's a machloket tanaim. Can we agree with that? There are two contradictory mishnayot as to whether or not you're allowed to carry underneath a mavoi that exceeds beyond 20 amot. Two different mishnayot. Now, Rav's an Amora, right? And so he generally doesn't argue, right? Sometimes he does, but he generally doesn't argue, right? So it's a problem for Rav if we have a mishnah that says that you can carry underneath a mavoi beyond 20 amot, because Rav believes that we learn it from the Heichal, and if you can carry underneath a mavoi with a doorpost beyond 20 amot, that doesn't conform to the model of the Heichal, that's when you have a serious problem, right? But as Rav points out, it's already a machloket tanaim as to whether or not you're allowed to carry underneath a mavoi. It's already a machloket tanaim as to whether or not you're allowed to carry underneath a mavoi with a doorpost that extends beyond 20 amot. So Rav says it's machloket tanaim. So too my sheet is a machloket tanaim, but I paskin like one of them, and so there should be no problem. There should be no kasha on my sheet. We'll stop here.